Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. I hope this week's message is meaningful and inspiring to you. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBurra. I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays in the Sanctuary and the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life.
Would you please remain standing for the reading of our gospel this morning from Matthew's gospel, chapter 7, verses 15 through 23. Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" This is the word of God for the people of God, and so we say, thanks be to God. You may be seated. It's always a joy to be with you in worship here in the sanctuary. Many weeks I'm in our modern service, and a few weeks ago in our modern service, I preached a sermon, and the title of that sermon was, "What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do." And I told a story about my senior year in high school. It was my big moment. It was a golden opportunity. I had gotten the lead in my school play, and the play was about Shakespeare's Hamlet, and I was Hamlet. I was extremely excited, but I was also extremely busy. Yeah, I was a senior in high school, so I had obligations, had social obligations, had academic obligations, probably for me in that order. But somehow, learning my lines to this play slowly started to drop down on the priority list. And I'll never forget this day. It was a couple weeks before opening night, and it was the first day that we had rehearsed the entire play completely without notes, without our script. And I remember like it was yesterday, standing on, we were in the choir room, and I was standing on one of those folding metal chairs, and it came time for me to deliver my big monologue, right? This was my moment to shine in front of my peers, but instead, all that shined was this big light on the fact that I had no idea what to say. I couldn't remember any of my lines. And so I just stood there, paralyzed with fear. And normally in situations like that, my normal defense mechanism is to just kind of make a joke and then move on. But it was made clear to me that day by my teacher, the choreographer, that he was not going to let me off that easy. And so then that's when the fight or flight reflex kicked in. Actually, I did both fight and flight. The first one was flight. I tried to get down off my chair and walk out of the room. I made some excuse about going to practice my lines, and he said, "No, get back up there." And so I got back up on the chair, That's when the fight reflex kicked in. I started to blame people. I blamed my classes. I blamed my teachers. I blamed the play. I blamed him. I blamed everyone except one person, right? Me. He wasn't having any of it. It was one of those teachable moments, as they say, right? And what seemed like 30 minutes probably was only about 30 seconds, but I learned my lesson that day. The reason why I share that story with you was because as I stood on that folding metal chair that day, this same thought just kept running through my mind, and it was this: what do I do? I don't know what to do. What do I do? And I share that with you today because as I walked through this past week, as I thought about having to stand up in front of you this morning, I kind of felt like that kid standing on the folding metal chair thinking, what do I do? I don't know what to do. In the midst of all that's happening in our world, in the midst of all that's happened in our community over the past few days, maybe you felt like that too. Maybe the thought's gone through your mind, I don't know what to do. What do I do? And so this morning, as I stand before you, I don't have magic answers, easy answers. And that's kind of the point of the idea of what do you do when you don't know what to do. We're all faced with those situations where we want to do something, but there are no easy answers. We want to respond, but sometimes there are no words. And so what do we do when we don't know what to do? Maybe you wrestled with that this week. I know that I did. And I'm so thankful that this weekend happened in a way that seemingly had peaceful resolution to some things that we were fearful about. And as Miss Tammy mentioned, I do believe that light shines in the darkness. But now what? Where do we go from here? You know, as we go throughout the days of our lives, and as we read the news, and as we look at social media, things are happening every day, and things are changing, and things are uncertain. And what I just want to lift up this morning, the good news that gave me peace in the midst of all that's happening in our lives, is that while some things are always changing, there are some things that don't change. There are some things that remain the same. And the reason for that, the reason why I know that, is because God's word reminds us that God's love never changes. That Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, in you, and in me. And it's from the foundation of that truth that I believe we are called to respond, that we are able to respond, that as God's people, as people of faith, as the church, we're called to be first responders in a sense. So what do we do when we don't know what to do? Well, the answer that I came up with this week was we do what we've always been called to do. We do what we've always done as people of faith, as followers of Christ, as the church. Because who God is and who God calls us to be doesn't change. There's a scripture that I cling to often that I read this week. I want to read it for you again. It says this, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. This week, as I was wrestling with that question of what to do when you don't know what to do, I was reminded of who we are as followers of Christ, who we are as the church, who we are as a church. I was reminded of those words that we say when we gather together. Do you remember the words that we say when a child is baptized or confirmed? As a community of faith, we promise to surround them with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God, be found faithful in their service to others. We promise to pray for them, that they may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. This is who we are. This is what we do. This is why we do it. We're called to love and support one another. As we grow in our trust of God, as we learn what it means to faithfully serve others, as we learn what it means to walk in the way that leads to life. And there's power, there's strength, there's wisdom, there's guidance in these words that we speak. They're not just words. In these vows that we take when we decide to join with a community of faith. When we profess our faith. The words of profession of faith in our baptismal vows say that we renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness. We reject the evil powers of this world. We repent of our sin. We promise to accept the freedom and power God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. We confess Jesus Christ as Savior. We put our whole trust in His grace, and we promise to serve Him as Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. In our membership vows, we promise to offer five things: our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness to one another and to the ministry and the mission of the gathered people of God in this place. And the word that we use for those people and that mission is church. Jesus said to Peter, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." There's a pastor by the name of Bill Hybels who says that the local church is the hope of the world. I don't believe that it's a coincidence that we're in the middle of this pledge campaign and that the title of the pledge campaign is Faith in Action, because I believe that there has never been a more important time for us to be who God has created us to be and to do what God has called us to do to bring hope to this hurting world. And we do that by acknowledging this simple truth that faith is action. That prayer is an action. That presence is an action. That giving is an action. That serving is an action. That wisdom, witness is an action. That we're not just saying, "Lord, Lord." We're committed to one another and to a life that bears fruit for God's kingdom. To a life and a life together that makes a difference in a world that so desperately needs something different. Now, the methods and the manifestations of that may change, and sometimes they need to change, but the message and the mission doesn't change. So what do? When we don't know what to do, we continue to do what we've always been called to do. We pray. We're present. We serve. We give. We bear witness to God's presence and provision in our lives and in our life together. This was brought home to me in a powerful way this week as I watched the events unfold. I saw prayer. Many of you were here on Wednesday night when we had a special dedicated time of prayer for our first responders. And one of the things that I realized as we knelt at the chancel to pray on Wednesday night was that this was not the first time that we have knelt together to pray at this chancel. There are many times where we have prayed for one another and for our church. Did you know that there are two teams of people in our congregation that meet solely for the purpose of prayer? They pray for you, they pray for me, they pray for our church, they pray for our community, and they meet every Wednesday night for prayer. So what do we do when we don't know what to do? Well, first of all, we pray. After that, we pray and we're present. There were so many examples of this that I saw online and in person this week of people being present for one another and for our community in so many different ways. There were all kinds of messages to go and eat meals downtown to support our local businesses. There were gatherings of prayer and community where we were present for one another. There were people present in many different ways all across our city yesterday, at parks, at prayer services, at home with their families, online. There was this commitment to be present with each other. And again, I was reminded that's who we are. That's who we've always been called to be as a church. I think about all the people in our church that are committed to what I call the ministry of presence. When someone's in the hospital, when someone's sick, when someone needs a meal, there are people from our church in small groups, in Sunday school classes that show up, that are a physical reminder of God's presence and provision. A few weeks ago, we commissioned some folks that were committed to this ministry called Stephen's Ministry, and it's basically the ministry of presence. It's being present for people, being a spiritual friend when presence is needed. So we pray. We're present. We serve. I saw so many examples of service this week, and I recently read an article. You may have seen it on our Facebook page. It was copied from the United Methodist Church website, and it was called "You Did It For Me: How to Respond in Times of Tragedy." And it was based on Matthew chapter 25, Jesus's words: "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was sick and you came and visited me. I was a stranger and you welcomed me in. I was naked and you gave me clothes." And as this article went through the list of those phrases and how people could respond in times of need, for every point, there was a picture in my mind of this church and how we serve. Through Second Saturday Service Day, mission trips, flood buckets sent through UMCOR to Houston, ministry with the Journey Home, our ESL program that meets weekly. So many ways that our church, every day, every week, are meeting those needs through the tangible acts of service. So what do? When we don't know what to do, we serve. The last one is this. As people of faith, we pray, we're present, we serve, we give. As Dave mentioned earlier, Cliff's phrase that he uses for this campaign, this pledge campaign, is we need to blow the roof off of this campaign. And you know, as he said that, I've been reminded of what a beautiful building that we have and all the ministry that takes place here. But I'm also reminded that this campaign is about more than just keeping the lights on and continuing our programs. As beautiful as it is and as wonderful as our programs are, the reason why we need to blow the roof off this pledge campaign is because it increases our capacity to do these other things, to pray, to be present, to serve, to bear witness to God's work among us, so that we can continue to be who God is calling us to be, and so that we can continue to do what God is calling us to do in the city of Murfreesboro, to reach out to our community with a message of love and grace, to gather and pray together with one another, to show up and to serve and to bear witness to the presence and provision of God. And again, this is not something new. I believe we're being called to do what we've always been called to do. This church has a rich history of faithful giving towards the mission of Christ through First United Methodist Church. And as Dave mentioned also, I believe that because of that, we have a bright future of living out the mission of Jesus Christ through this church. And so all these things, all these actions, these living examples of our faith are the last thing. They're a witness to our community. They're a witness to the message that we share, to the mission that we're on. And the message is something that doesn't change. It is what it's always been. To those who need to hear it, that God is not angry with you, that God has not abandoned you, that God is with us and God is for us, and that God is able to do more than we could ever hope for or imagine. God is able to do what we could never do on our own. God restores, God redeems, God reconciles, God rebuilds, God renews. The focus verse for this Faith in Action campaign comes from Matthew 7:16. It says, "You will know them by their fruits." Such a beautiful image. You see, when a tree bears fruit, it simply reveals what it is, what it's always been. But at that point, it's revealing that fruit as an extension of its identity and its purpose. So I believe that there has never been a more important time for us as Christians, as the church, as our church, to reveal who we are, who we've always been, who God is calling us to be, to embody that truth that faith is action, to bear fruit. For we will be known by our fruits. You remember the other thing that Jesus said? He said, you will know that they are my disciples in that how they love one another. That's the last thing I want you to think about this morning. That prayer is an act of love. That presence is an act of love. That giving is an act of love. That serving is an act of love. And when we allow our lives to be an act of love, we become witnesses to the world around us. We become a living testimony to the one who prayed and prays for us, to the one who was present for us and with us, to the one who gave everything for us, to the one who came not to be served, but to serve, to the one whose life and death and resurrection bears witness to the love of God that is greater than hatred, than division, than destruction. It's greater than sin. It's greater than death. That's the good news. It was the good news then. It's the good news now. And it'll always be the good news. So the question I want you to think about this morning is not, what do I do? Rather, it's, what does God want to do in me? What does God want to do through my prayers, my presence, my gifts, my service, my witness to share God's love with the world that God created, the world that Christ died for, the one that God's Spirit leads us as the church to go into, to be salt and light, to bear fruit? That's the question for us today. And as I said, it begins with prayer. So would you bow with me now for a word of prayer? Almighty God, my prayer for me for us, for your church, is that we might be who you have created us to be, that we might do what you have called us to do, so that the world might know your love through our love, that our words, our actions, our lives, our life together might bear fruit for your kingdom, so that your kingdom may come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.